Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. You know, exciting topic today. We're going to jump into, does it make sense to print crowns? Is that sustainable? Realistic. The hot take is that printed crowns aren't here yet, but they're coming. So yeah, if you haven't checked us out, 3ddentist.com, 3d-dentist.com, come see what all we offer. Mastermind, digital implant, continuum. We teach a lot of cool stuff, 3D printing. We talk about all these things. So if you're looking for education, you want to do it in a way that's digital, the future, check us out, 3ddentist.com. Anyways, so yeah, as it pertains to crowns, like this has been a big topic of conversation, right? I mean, we've been a CEREC user since I joined the practice in 2015. We now have 5 mills on the CEREC side. We have a big 5-axis mill in the VHF R5, which is a beast. And then we do a lot of stuff with SprintRay. So inevitably, we've got a number of SprintRay printers in our office. We've got Pro 55, Pro 95S. And then we also have the Einstein printer as well. You know, my thing is like, I want to stay up on the cutting edge. So regardless of the relationships of people that support us, I want to know what's out there. And I want to make sure that, hey, we're trying to stay on up to date, you know, the best we can clinically for our patients and for myself personally, what I want to do. So anyway, so this keeps coming up on, you know, should we be printing crowns? Is that good? What does it look like? And the question that we've got to start asking ourselves, and I give a lot of credit to T-Bone a lot of times on, you know, for better or for worse, but the question that we have to start asking is, what problem are we trying to solve? What problem are we trying to solve? At some level, what the problems we're always trying to solve with technology, as far as it relates to restorations, in my opinion, would be we need to be doing same-day dentistry. We need to be consumer-driven. Consumer-driven means if you have a crown number 19, you can get that crown done in one visit. Like that is a hands down. If you're not doing that, in my opinion, you're behind. Because the majority of us, or a lot of us, have been doing that for 10, 12, 15 years now. So that's kind of step one. So then if you can do it, it's, well, how fast can you do it? How good can you do it? And maybe how good you do it should be in the order, but fast tends to be, speed tends to be everything. I mean, shoot, for SprintRay, Usain Bolt is their kind of liaison or whatever from our marketing standpoint, because speed is everything. So quality is important, speed's important. And then finally, obviously for the dentist, I mean, the elephant in the room is that cost is important, affordability. How cheap can we make these crowns to where we become more competitive, more affordable in a hard PPO environment? So when you break it down, I kind of look at this a couple of different ways. One is quality. I'm a technology printing guy, but I have a hard time believing that the quality at scale, because I look at everything at scale too, by the way. Like I got to preface that. Like I get that shit works in certain people's hands. Stuff may work in my hands, but if I can't scale it down to my associates, to the people that I work with, then to me, it's not a reproducible model. So what I'm trying to look at is what is scalable in a big group practice, right? So our practice, we have 5 doctors, I think. Yep. 4 doctors currently, 1 on the way. And so everything we need to do in a busy PPO practice needs to be scalable. In my opinion, Emax and Zirconia restorations have proven that they are scalable, long-term, good restorations. There are other blocks out there that are good as well, but there's no reason that you can't do a CEREC type restoration in an hour and a half to 2 hour appointment. Now, so when we look at quality, the challenges I have is that, okay, what does the current state of resin materials stack up against blocks? And look, I am not the research guy. Surely if you listen to this podcast, you know that I'm not going to get into megapascals and shit like that. I'm just saying from a general standpoint, when we look at materials, it's my understanding, and I could be wrong, but I just think it's closer, is that the current blocks are more resin-based than ceramic-based. Meaning that like if I hit a 3D printer restoration with a hammer, it's going to break more than I do an Emax or zirconia one. And so from a longevity standpoint, from a polishability and a glaze standpoint, I think they're probably pretty comparable. But and from a margin standpoint, there's no doubt that we can't print amazing margins. But I struggle with just the wear and tear of those restorations. And then this gets into kind of like bleeding edge versus leading edge versus lagging edge stuff, is that like at some point, I'm not sure I want to be the guinea pig of something that's used that much so often. Right? I mean, like Emax has been used for almost 20 years. And so to me, I have a hard time giving up that material when the only reasons I would do it, remember, are speed, quality, and cost. So let's break that down. Well, speed. Right now, to do a single Emax block on number 19 and to print a single we'll call it sprint rate crown resin, you know, crown on using that method, they're essentially the equivalent. And we'll break those down later in the episode, but they're essentially equivalent. I'm gaining nothing in speed, really. Second of all, am I gaining anything in quality? I don't think I am at this point. And then third, am I gaining anything in cost? Now, sure, yes, but it's relative. Like, I'm like, my block costs $30. How cheap do I need to be? Or $35. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess my resin crown or my printed crown maybe cost me $5, but there's a lot more that goes into it. And it's not when you already have a workflow in place, there's a cost associated with learning and implementing and all that stuff. And I just have a hard time making a move off something that's going to save me $15. You know, and you hear me talk about this all the time. I am so much more focused on finding ways to leverage technology to grow my business, not to save money. To grow my business, not to save money. So, like, I believe in printed restorations. I believe in them from a printed mock-up standpoint, from a snap-on smile standpoint. Like, I will sell cases all day long because of that technology and because of that use, but that's how I'm leveraging right now. So, and like this is like an unpopular opinion. Let me be very clear. I just think that we have some time to go from that standpoint. So speed's the same. Quality, I think, that still has the upper hand, obviously, to have something like Emax or Zirconia. And then finally, cost, I don't think it's not some windfall of a thing that's gonna make a difference. Now, the challenge is, okay, well, you'll say, well, someone who doesn't have CEREC. Well, so yes, there is definitely a bigger upfront cost to something like CEREC, Plan Mecca, or a workflow system. Now, that's getting more competitive, right? I mean, we can have a VHF now has a mill that can mill a block in a reasonable amount of time, I think 20 minutes or so. And that's around a $20,000, $25,000 mill. You know, you pair that with a Medit, an Exocad. Now you're talking, let's call it 15, 10, that's 25 plus 20. You know, you're under 50 grand for mill software and everything to do something like Zirconia or Emax or et cetera. Now, you take a printing setup, or let's call it 15 grand. And then if we're gonna include software, then we're at 25 grand to do the same math that I did using Exocad. And so you definitely fall short from a standpoint of your upfront cost. Now, I could go into a diatribe of reasons why like 20 grand is nothing. By the time that you take off the tax deduction part, by the time that you leverage out the monthly payment part, that literally we're talking of hundreds of dollars a month. So it becomes almost negligible at that point, in my opinion. It really does. And so I just need to have something that is, you know, predictable from a cost standpoint. So let's break it down now kind of step by step. Because I think, in my opinion, that's where push comes to shove, is when people want to be like, why are you hating on that? Like, I'm not hating on that. Like, I want it to work. It's in my vested interest. Like, I am a huge supporter in that regard. But there are some hiccups. So here they are. Sorry, it's 5 o'clock on Friday, so I'm having a beer. All right, so we prep the tooth. We take our impression. Now, you know, what I didn't realize, I guess, early on was that when you got into CEREC, there's this whole CAD-CAM thing, right? Like this word CAD-CAM. And I never really knew what it was until I got outside of the CEREC world. And I realized that CAD meant design, CAM meant essentially how you produce whatever it is that you're doing. Now, what CEREC's done really well, like unbelievably well, is their timeline from CAD to CAM is like, essentially, you never even know that you're doing it. That's why I never really knew the difference. And so from an acquisition of data standpoint to pressing mill for a single unit is like less than 5 minutes. It's auto-marginating. It designs a pretty good proposal. You adjust the context, adjust occlusion, hit mill. Our CAD part is going to be a huge windfall up at this point in Sarek's favor. So now let's talk about how we would do the CAD part in a non-Sarek workflow. So I've got a Medit, love my Medit. I have ExoCAD, I have VHF. So I could run these literally simultaneously. Or I have my printer, so I literally could run these in a simultaneous workflow. So I should do that one day. It'd be kind of fun. In order to do that, I'm going to scan with my Medit. And then it's my understanding, I think Medit has maybe has a crown design software, but I don't know much about that. So I'm going to assume that I'm going to, if you truly want to do this, you're going to use something robust like ExoCAD. So I'm going to scan a Medit and I'm going to send to ExoCAD. Now, that can happen if you're set up right digitally pretty quickly till the data inputs in. And at that point, if you're doing it often and it becomes a bread and butter type thing, I think that you can input the data, marginate, design the crown, and be sending to some sort of CAM software, whether to print or mill, probably within 10 minutes. So I think now what I will tell you is that the learning curve there is steeper, but once you get there, why is it steeper? It's multiple softwares. You got data has to get transferred. I got to go to that computer. It may not be the same computer. There are just some level of potential issues there. But in theory, if I'm moving and I kind of got down, I think it's around 10 minutes or so. So a slight advantage there to Sarek, but let's assume that like you've got that set up and you're good there. So then we go to our CAM software. Now this is where we got to add on time because in Sarek, you literally hit mill, put your block in and you go to town I'll talk VHF and like a third party mill standpoint, and I'll talk it on a printing standpoint. I'm trying to give like a good perspective of everything and highlight, frankly, the pros and cons of what I just see. Like this is really an unbiased opinion, honestly. It should be biased probably more towards some of these, but this is what it is. So we get to the CAM software. Now let's talk about printing. That's going to be Rayware, which means we drop it in, and Rayware is pretty good at this point where we're going to drop in crown, tell it what it is, and go. Now, I get kind of mixed reviews on whether it needs to preheat, not preheat, but it's my understanding, and I don't have it, so I can't completely give you my perspective, but it's my understanding that the SprintRay crown resin with the new attachments can print in about 14 to 15 minutes. It may be 12 in some situations, but let's just call it an average of 14 to 15 minutes. So that's going to happen. And then in a Sarek workflow with Emacs, you're essentially doing kind of the same thing. It's going to mill in about 13, 14 minutes. It may be a little faster if you have a different oven, yada, yada, yada. But they're essentially kind of the same thing there. You know, if you've got different resin tanks, I mean, it's definitely messier with printing. But if you've got different resin tanks, I don't see really a bigger issue there. From a reliability standpoint, gosh, it's way cheaper to have multiple printers and multiple mills. You know, they're probably pretty close to even, but I probably give printing the edge on reliability there. But that's kind of a tough call. So, and then we talk with, as far as the VHF mill, what I've noticed is that there's definitely a more uptime to making that fast because we're talking one axis. It's just not built for speed. It's built more for accuracy and the kind of milling that it's doing. So you're probably looking at somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes to mill. So that kind of gets the negative for same day milling on that standpoint, or behind Sarek and behind printing as far as speed up to this point. But both of those softwares, those CAM softwares, Rayware and then VHF software, are going to add an additional time of bringing the restoration in, loading into the platform, and then doing it. It's not much, but it's probably 5 minutes or so that you're not having to do in Sarek. So, but when we're talking about minutes, 5 minutes is something. We mill out the restorations, we print the restorations. Now we get to the part where, okay, what does the post-processing look like? From a milling standpoint, we're going to cut off sprue, polish or spray glaze, and then we have an additional 13-minute for Emacs or 17-minute for zirconia, or no, if you're using Lisi or Sarek to Sarah or something like that, you have no real additional firing time. So depending on what you're doing, it could be an advantage or it could take slightly longer in that regard. Now with printing, we've got to wash this. We have to wash the crown. We have to cure the crown. I'm using Onyx Tough right now for mine. So, you know, the washed part, to wash one adequately, it may take a couple minutes. I'm typically just hand spraying that and wiping it off to move quickly in that regard. So let's call it 3 or 4 minutes. Probably the same amount of time that it would take a sprue off. And then I got to adjust kind of there's little sprues, even though they're tiny, you still have to adjust the sprue on the printed materials. And then you're going to cure it. And then let's call curing, you know, again, mixed reviews a little bit here on how long does it actually take to cure, but let's call it 5 minutes. Let's say that it's a fast cure and then we get it down to 5 minutes. And then you got to include some level of glaze time, which is probably about the same for both. If you're spray glazing, like one of the, like an Emax crown or zirconia versus, you know, throwing on some Opti glaze as it regards the printing. So you see here, the speed part is kind of 6 1/2 dozen or another, or I hope that's kind of what you're gathering. That's at least what I've kind of seen from that point. So I don't know. I mean, it's just this whole news about a D2740 or whatever the new code is, that now we can use printed permanent crowns, is obviously going to push this envelope. I believe we're going to be printed crowns. I believe that, like, you know, by 2030, probably sooner, milling may be a flash in the pan as far as dental restorations go in long term. Who knows? But I'm definitely treading more cautiously into this. You know, if you're a CEREC user, you think about using Enamic, what was the one? Lava Ultimate. You know, you think about some of these resin-based blocks that we used. We don't have the best experience of them long-term. And the reality is with printed restorations, we just don't have that much research long-term. And beyond research, we just don't have that much just out in the market, getting wore and tore, used, like dentists use stuff, to see how is it going to withstand the test of time. So this is a little bit of my hot take. It'll probably get a little bit of flack. But at the end of the day, I think it's an honest opinion. I think that we have to be honest with ourselves. I think we have to tell it how it is. And I think that although we're moving that direction, I will be someone who's using them, who's trying to push the limit and using them here and there. I don't plan on, giving up my CEREC workflows for same-day dentistry at any point in time soon. In fact, kind of what I'm doing personally, my own practice right now we're doing a lot of printed long-term temps or really nice printed aesthetic temps. So 8-unit cases, 10-unit cases. We're designing a mock-up in Exocad that looks really nice. We prep the teeth. We drop that back into Exocad. We marginate everything. And then from that, the restorations literally go down to the margins. And then I can print 8 restorations in 14 minutes. 8 restorations, 14 minutes. Now we make up speed, right? So I think a huge take-home point that the listener has to understand is that, like, that's where printing wins, right? When we're talking about mass production. You know, if you don't have a big mill like I do, and even then, we milled 28 crowns the other day on our big mill overnight, but it took 10 hours or so, or even longer to mill all those crowns. That would have happened in 30, 40 minutes on a couple of different platforms because of just the way that printing works. So I think there are some advantages. That's how we're using it in our practice, but we're not using it as those long-term restorations. We're still replacing those with Emax or zirconia. And then, for singles day in and day out, we're still using that. I like it for implants. I kind of like the idea of a printed restoration for an implant restoration. But still, the CEREC workflow is so good with that. I'm kind of playing around with that with Nextocad, and I'm sure I'll talk more about that in the coming weeks and months as far as us moving implant restorations to Exocad. But yeah, that's where I'm at. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed it. Work smarter, not harder. Please hot take this. I'll probably post this on Instagram and tag it, like, why I'm not printing crowns right now. And it'll probably drum up some ideal conversation. Let me put it this way. For all you those out here doing it, thank you. This is not meant to be some, like, beef, whatever. I think it's coming. I think it's here to stay. It's just my hot take. And I'm excited to kind of continue to see the future of printing, because I do believe it's the future. And I like to see how I continue to meld both printing and milling and all this technology into a busy, successful practice. So hope you enjoyed it. See you next time. I'm out.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.